Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to this, our first Sunday of 2023. And in an old Scottish tradition, I wish you all a good new year to in and all, and mony may ye see. Enduring all the year to come, oh happy may ye be. And may ye ne'er have cause to mourn, to sigh, or shed a tear, to in and all, both large and small. A hearty good new year.
You don't know what he said to you. Tell us.
Our service today is led by Robert, our minister. I'm the chaplain, Mike Gordon, and I'll be doing the reading this morning. There are no new notices, and by the way, if there are any visitors this morning, you are very welcome. Please make yourself known to us. And as an afterthought, although there is no tradecraft stall this morning, there is tea and coffee being served in the room behind us. And to get there, you just go up through these doors and you'll be very welcome for a cup of coffee and a chat to warm you up before you get on your way home. The other notice I would like to tell you about is that next Sunday's morning service will include a service of communion. And for those of you who are able to, there is a tea and chat advance notice. And the next tea will be on Tuesday, the 10th of January. Everybody is welcome. We'll have a few minutes of quiet and reflection while I light the grace candle in readiness for our service.
Good morning to all of you and a very, very happy new year. I know that many of you are struggling with sniffles and snuffles and a sense of heaviness in the chest and colds, and I hope that in the singing, in the service today, you can forget about that or contribute your coughs and sniffles to the choruses in the hymns that we will be singing. But you are still loved, you are still welcome, and I do sincerely hope that your colds go soon. They are a bind, they are a bother, and it's an unwelcome gift for this time of the year. And I don't know if it helps you or not, all to say, you aren't alone. There are many people struggling with that in up and down the country now. And it just reminds us that we share the good, we share the intermediate, and we share the sniffles and snuffles. And don't ask me where they came from, but they're here not to stay. Be assured of that. The psalm for this morning, the first Sunday of the year, the first day of the year, is Psalm 148, an expression of hope from the people of God of times past, of times present, and for the times to come. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. May the love of God be with you, guide you, sustain you as we step into this new year, thanking what happened in all that was good, handing over to God all that was so difficult and asking God to continue walking with us in the days to come. Our hymns this morning are all from the same hymn book, Rejoice and Sing. And our first hymn this morning is hymn 144, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Hymn 144. We will omit verse 2 in this hymn. The last 10 months, every Sunday, as part of our worship, we light the peace candle. And the theme for today's service, based on the reading, is peace. So we light the candle at this time as an expression of what we search for, what we hope for, and what we commit to in our daily life, for ourselves, for those close by, and for the world, that as we have just sung, as we will hear later on, peace is still something the world searches for, stumbling and often going in the opposite direction, but something we need. before our first prayer, I just wanted to share that I set apart intentionally yesterday to watch on BBC Catch Up 32 minutes, because that's all it lasts, 32 minutes of a film based on a book called The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse. Some of you may have read the book, and some of you may have seen the short film. But I didn't want to see it before the end of the year, so just about leading up to the fireworks, I sat down and watched it. It was absolutely beautiful. The drawings are absolutely amazing, drawn by the same guy that wrote the book and drew the drawings in the book. The text is still absolutely fantastic. The final scene of it is just so beautiful. And the mole seems to be the source of wisdom. And one of the pearls of wisdom in the book says something like, and in the film says, when you've tried and failed, there's always cake. And the drawings, if you haven't watched it, do watch it. It'll only take 32 minutes of your day, but it'll stay with you. And don't get up and go until the titles are finished at the end, because the mole's search for cake, you will only find resolved at the end of the titles. But it is absolutely beautiful. When the fox says to him, and I'm not giving anything away, if I weren't in this trap, I would kill you. And somebody turns around and says to him, if you aren't out of this trap, you will die. And they start working together. And what follows is absolutely, amazingly beautiful. And if you shed a tear or not, it's part of the story. But I can fully recommend it. I thought it was absolutely beautiful, and I then decided that what I've just said was going to introduce the prayers for this morning. Let us pray, and we will end with the Lord's Prayer together. It's the first day of the year, and it's the first Sunday of the year. It's 2023. 2023 years later of the birth of Jesus. And how many times has Happy New Year been said already in just over 10 and a half hours? It's our wish, it's our need. But the truth is, not everybody, dear God, can truly echo those words. For many, it is not a happy day. For many, there is not much difference from what it was yesterday or the day before yesterday or last year or the year before that. We live in a world where we have to light a candle for peace because there is no peace. Or not peace as we would like it to be. So we thank you, dear God, on this day, because a new year opens a new chapter in the book of life for each of us. New possibilities, things yet to be written and done and said and enjoyed. Times to share. Times to weep with those who weep and laugh with those who laugh. And we thank you, dear God, for life in your hands, even when it's difficult. Because you are part of that walk of life. And you have never run away from the difficulties, even when we are the cause of those difficulties. We thank you. We thank you for every expression of kindness, of coming together, of understanding. Because it just shows us what is possible, what we can do, and how so often we have to overcome ourselves to be part of all this. for all that in this world has brought out the beauty and the kindness in the midst of dark, in the midst of selfishness, in the midst of hatred. Dear God, forgive us for not carrying on the light, the new light in the birth of Jesus to the everyday. Forgive us when we think that things should conform to our vision and not our vision conform to your will. Forgive us for taking for granted the beauty and simplicity of life. Forgive us when we get wrapped up in our own issues. Forgive us when we expect forgiveness from others but aren't willing to give it. Forgive us, dear God, for putting you in a place of routine and not in the wonderful place in our lives and in the lives of others that will make this world the better world. In your grace, with all that is new, give us a true search for peace, that we may love and be loved, that we may share, and that we may recognize in your children, the world around, your presence. To you be the glory. And as your children, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now let us hear the Bible reading for this morning.
Reading can be found in the New Testament section of the Bible on page 112, and it is John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mike. Give us your peace to hear, to understand, and to live. Disturb us, as all peace is disturbing, that we may be your children in this world. Amen. If I were a betting man, and I wouldn't recognize it from the pulpit, at least the first Sunday of the month, of the year, but I would bet anything that if you ask the 8 billion people on the planet Earth that are now, if they were in favour of peace, you'd get 8 billion positive answers. So why then do we pray for peace? Why then do we need peace? Because we don't have it. So the question is, peace? Really? Is that what we're talking about? Is that what we want? The three churches of the Old Town Partnership of Churches in Swindon are sharing the words that we heard from Jesus in the reading just now as a challenge for this year. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And given the world reality, this continues to be one of the greatest challenges to us all. It began the first Sunday in Advent in Christchurch, where the theme for the year was these words, and they're going to continue it. At a minister's meeting, we thought it was a good idea, and Rach is going to take this up at Bath Road. And I spoke to the elders, and we agreed that the first Sunday of the year, today, I was going to preach on this, so we could all feel that we were on the same page. This is the end of the first day of the new week in the Gospel of John, Resurrection Sunday, where everything is new, the new creation begun. Jesus appears to the disciples and appears to us all in one way or another and declares that we are agents of peace in our time, in every time. A complicated challenge for us, but no more difficult than it was for the first disciples. Truly, it was as complicated to them as we can already start thinking of the excuses of why peace is such a complicated issue and why we will leave that to the experts. I just want to say that what I am going to share with you today is a shorter version of what I have written. And those of you who get the text when you get the recording or read it on the webpage of the church will find the full text. I'm leaving out a few things intentionally. The reading begins at night, and ever since the beginning of times, from Genesis, darkness represents the absence of God. Always. It's what they feared. And that's why Christmas was light. And darkness in the Gospel of John, darkness could not turn the light out. But it's that tension all the way through, from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, light and darkness. The disciples at night were living in fear. They'd locked themselves up behind closed doors in the room that they had met to share the Last Supper. They didn't know what to do. Everything they knew had collapsed. And the world was against them. How do we get out of this room? How do we do what we've been called to do? And the only place they find secure until they find answers is that room. But the fact that the gospel says the doors are bolted, are locked, gives us a sense of where they stand. They are together, but in fear. And in spite of the locked doors, and John makes this very clear, in spite of the locked doors, suddenly Jesus makes his presence among them. They don't know what to do. And Jesus comes and he has a message of peace. His first words are of peace, his second words are of peace. And what is absolutely disturbing is that he suddenly shows them the wounds. We would expect in our best intentions that the resurrected Christ would be healed, that there would be no sign of wounds. But the resurrected Christ will bear the wounds of the world until the end of times. Until then, his hands, his feet, and his side will bear those marks. And that's how they recognize him. The reading goes on to Thomas. Those marks won't disappear. Those are the marks of what the world is capable of doing. How many in the world today bear the marks of the lack of peace? The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. The Arabic word is salam. The Hindi word is shanti. They all mean peace. But you see, in the Bible, peace is not merely the absence of war. Peace is much more than that. When there is violence and war, it's the deterioration of much more than peace. Peace in the Bible is never something that happens to an individual. It is the fulfilling reality for all God's people. It is a result of justice. There can never be peace if there's no justice. It is reality of truth. There can never be peace if there are lies or half-truths. There can only be peace when there is mutual respect, even of our differences. Even when we don't understand each other, it is the promise of fullness of life for everybody. And in the same Gospel of John, it is Jesus who says, I have come so that all may have life in fullness. That is the challenge and that is the aim. Where all human beings are seen as children of God. This is what Jesus taught. This is what Jesus lived. This is what Jesus offered. And that's what he died for. Because people would not accept, some people would not accept that that was a reasonable thing to do. As from yesterday, the world has gone back to having only one pope. Benedict died. And many people have said some very kind words about him. Though in life, those kind words weren't always coming out of his mouth, but that's the Latin American in me speaking. But this week at Christmas time, Pope Francis spoke in his Christian message. I think, having read it, that I would happily say amen to what he said. He said, and this is the phrase that caught my attention, and I noted it down quickly because I wanted to share it with you today. The world is suffering from a famine of peace. The world is suffering from a famine of peace. And he continued to urge all people to look beyond the shallow holiday glitter. It was in October that we started saying something about, remember, oh, have you heard the carols already going on in the range or in any shop you wanted to? They even beat Halloween this year. The Christmas decorations came long before Halloween was there. Every year it gets closer and closer and closer. And when they're going to start overlapping, we're going to have next year's decorations before they put up this year's decorations and things like that. And that's the world as it comes across, glitter, sparkling. And the Pope was saying, we've got to look beyond the shallow holiday glitter and help the homeless, the immigrants, the refugees, and the poor in their midst of seeking comfort, warmth, and food. Warmth and food, a place to live. That's not a luxury. That's not holiday glitter. It cannot be peace if it only satisfies a few people. And if you've got the weekly news, there is in the thought for the week a quote by Einstein. You probably wouldn't think of the most famous physicist in the world quoting something on peace for the first Sunday of the year. Take it home and look at it again. I think it has something to say to us. Well, that's why I put it there, hoping that you'd find it also. Peace is what we are sent to multiply and give away. As the Father sent me, I sent you, says Jesus. To multiply it and give it away. And that's why in John, Pentecost is also the first day of resurrection. He blows the Spirit on them because he enables them to go out and be these agents of peace. After this is finished, the doors will be opened, the disciples will leave the upper room, and things will begin to happen. We have received the Holy Spirit, and we continue to receive it, so that we can believe, that we can work for peace, that we can believe in forgiveness for ourselves and for others. I just want to remind you that in the Gospel of John, the biggest sin of all is indifference. It's not the petty little things that often are brought up as the greatest sin. It is that that breaks down our connection as human beings. And that is what the disciples are sent to build. So we have that common task of being able to start as close as we are, forgiving ourselves and forgiving others, and building up that which makes a difference. And the challenge that the Old Town Partnership has set forward for this 2023 is the fact that, come on, if the three churches are talking about this, something has got to happen. Something has got to be different. So I hope so. I hope we can. And I'm going to do something now that's going to make a few of you feel slightly uncomfortable. That's why we don't do it too often. But the sermon has not ended until those of us who can get up can go to one or two people, look them in the eye, and wish them peace for the new year. I know we don't like doing that, but I think it's necessary, because it will remind us that the building of peace sometimes will make us feel uncomfortable. But come on, we know each other well enough. And if you can't get up and walk around, stay seated. But somebody will come up and share that with you. We don't have to do it with everybody, but I hope the multiplying effect will be that which we can see ourselves in the words of, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So let us share the peace together and remember that we are God's children working together. The Amen will come in a few moments. Peace to you and a Happy New Year. Happy New Year and peace be to you. Peace be with you and a Happy New Year. Peace be with you. Wally. Peace be with you.
With the six pop.
Yeah. That's envy, yeah. Oh, peace be with you, that's all. Peace be with you and all the family.
My husband, I had that book, I've got that book, I've got two of them, and the hardest word to ask for
is help.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not every Sunday I can greet people from the two congregations I minister. Peace with you and with the family, and thank you. Peace be with you. Peace. Peace to you and to you. Peace be with you. Oh, nobody likes it, but they're doing a good job about it, aren't they? Yes. Norman, peace be with you. Peace with you, and may you feel better. You will get better. Peace with you, and have a good holiday. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And get better.
Get a haircut.
Oh, shut up. Peace with you. Peace with you and the drama group. You don't have to step on me. I'm going back.
You've got the whole world this time.
Oh, sorry. And now I can safely say, Amen. I was delighted in the response, and I'm not going to tell you when, but we may try this again at some time in an appropriate occasion. You're really good at it. So, yes, I pray for us all, for those we know, for those who are far away, for those we miss deeply. Peace, the true peace of the fullness of life. Amen. Hymn 635, put peace into each other's hand. And I hope that after what we've shared just now, we realize what the words of this hymn actually are saying to us. We will omit verse 3.
Thank you.
the prayers of intercession for this day have been prepared by the previous moderator of the United Reformed Church General Assembly, Claire Downing. She wrote these for sharing in churches on this Sunday. So let us join in prayers of intercession. God of the past, the present, and the future, we bring our prayers of concern to you at the beginning of this new year, recognizing that you are the God of endings and new beginnings. We remember those who are glad to leave the old year behind, those people for whom 2022 was a difficult year, because of bereavement or loss, illness, some experienced broken relationships, some felt the weight of distance from loved ones, and many, many would confess to dreams that didn't become a reality. We pray for our world, where so many pressing issues seem to be ignored. A misplaced patriotism which fuels unrest and war. Reliance on fossil fuels and overuse of plastics. Our lack of care for the planet and for those people we do not know. Our inability to look for the good of all, rather than our own immediate satisfaction. We pray, O Lord, for all those communities across the world who suffered in this last year, for those affected by disasters, natural and caused by human activity, those who have suffered flooding, drought, or even both of them, those who have been forced from their homes through war, those desperate enough to try to reach this country in small boats, those subject to regimes that take away freedom of choice in relationships, education, and career. We remember those and pray for those in our country who have faced what appears to be insolvable problems, the struggle over the cost of food and fuel, those who live with uncertainty about work or benefits, those living in unfit housing, the victims of abusive relationships, those that suffer from discrimination for reasons of age, race, gender, sexuality, disability, faith. Oh Lord, they aren't far away. They're all over, in every corner of this world. People who need you to work through us. And we pray for this year that has just begun. We give thanks for those who use their influence for good, those that work for peace, those who challenge our lack of care for the environment, those who challenge the status quo, those willing to risk their own lives and livelihoods for the good of others, those who campaign for a fairer world. We pray for those who have influence but do not always use it wisely. Politicians that put short-term popularity above the common good. Business leaders who put profit above all other concerns. Those who are powerful in the media and online. those whose celebrity status can be used for good or evil. We pray for those who feel powerless. And dear God, sometimes that will be us. Especially those who have lost home, work, family, dignity, those struggling with addictions, those suffering from chronic illness, mental or physical, those whose only way of being heard is to withdraw their labor, those who feel that there is no point in continuing to live, and those from whom Christmas and New Year are particularly tough, hard, difficult. We pray for our loved ones nearby and far away, and for all those people who are important to us, or those that we have suddenly remembered, and those that we always remember. In this silence, O God, we put them before you and ask that you lead our actions towards those who are so often forgotten. God of endings and new beginnings, of death and resurrection. As we begin this new year, we bring both ourselves, our prayers, our churches, all that we are to you, asking that in some small way, each of us may be a sign of your kingdom. Remembering the words that Jesus said to those disciples locked behind bolted doors in fear, "Peace I give you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." God, may we respond to the challenge. Amen. And now let us share what we have been able to set apart for this time of the offering. Lord, what we put in the plate, but also what we give of ourselves, our time, our talents, our abilities, that all may be received by you, blessed, and used to proclaim to the world a better way, your way. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Was it easier to take from the back front? Intentionally, it is a slightly shorter service this morning because there's tea and coffee afterwards, and we would like to invite you all to share a time. There are tables to sit round. If you can, even if it's you're not going to stay a long time, but come along. Feel that it's a way of ending this first service of this first day of the year. Sitting down and saying hello to people, or being said hello to, if you'd like to, come along. There's no need to run away, but if you have to run away, go without feeling guilty, please. That's not the issue. But it's also nice to know that we can say hello to each other. Our final hymn, to skip into the new year, if that is possible with our bones, but if it's not with our heart, then it's hymn 549. We'll omit the second verse because that takes us a long way round the corner of the world. I turn. We thought that was a bit much for this morning. So one more step along the world I go. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me travelling along with you. Let us go in joy, in hope, trusting that we are loved by God, called to love each other. And let us take peace with us on this journey and share it and receive it. And as Jesus blessed them with the Holy Spirit, may we end this service with the words of the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be with you, with those we love, with those we should love and find so difficult to love, and with God's people everywhere. Let us go, traveling because he travels with us. Amen.